grab a seat to the bar and join us for another episode of McAnally's Pubcast, a podcast exploring the fun and fantastical mind of Jim Butcher's The Dresden Files series. Hosts Tansen, Jess, and Maggie bring you another round of literary analysis on this immense, immersive, and colorful environment inhabited by Harry Dresden, the world's only licensed private investigator and professional wizard. Join an active and engaged community of new and diehard dedicated fans focused on the fabulous themes, theories, characters, context, lore, and more. This is McAnally's Dresden Files Pubcast, brought to you by Free Flow Rambling. Conjure by it at your own risk. Welcome to the McAnally's Pubcast, brought to you by Free Flow Rambling. This is episode 12.27, Magical Jousting Motorcycle Comets, where we are covering the novel Blood Rites. My name is Tansen, and I'm joined by Maggie.
Hello, hello.
And Jess.
I am not a bum. I'm a jerk.
Chapter 38. Murphy and Dresden ride her Harley towards the deeps, but are intercepted by a security vehicle. Dresden uses his magic to decimate their opponents in the style of magical medieval jousting. The pair get to the area of the deeps when Lord Wraith ambushes them and takes Murphy and then Dresden hostage.
So I'm going to hop right on board with Dresden here and ask Tansen, did they decimate them? Do we know that they only took out like 1/10 of the party guards?
It happened to me, now it's happening to you.
It will. It's okay, it'll also make sense in a couple more books. Because Dresden brings up the same thing. He's like, devastate or decimate? Because decimate actually only means like... we'll let the viewers be the judge of that.
It's hard to drive a car on non-cement.
Like gravel? Oh my god.
Yeah, even gravel, right? Just like all sorts of terrain that's not just nice cement. And a Harley on grass? That's dangerous. You're not supposed to do that.
Know what kind of Harley she has? It doesn't really...
I don't think we just know it's a Harley. He never says what model she has.
Dresden doesn't know motorcycles.
And like, if anyone's ever tried a Harley, those things are massive.
Things are generally massive.
Like, generally.
There's like one or two models that are like friendly to people who have shorter limbs.
Yes.
And Murphy owns one of them. Yes.
So many better options than that.
Yeah, but the Harley is like a classic, okay? Everyone knows a
Harley. Or Softail. Or she probably repoed a custom one that was like from a chop shop.
Confiscate it from someone and then this is mine now.
Yeah. Ooh, I like that.
She only just takes it around the house. They're then on a road.
Well, yeah, but she tears up the lawn. That's dangerous.
I'm sure just a little back skate, a little fishtail she gets. Okay. We've seen that in like every movie, you know, or it just takes out a chunk of grass or like spits up some gravel or something.
Although for some reason when you said she takes it around the house, I have images of like this little toy bike in the house. Like the Overlook Hotel.
No, that's the friends I have with Harleys that have bought like the tricycle toddler mini bike versions for their...
And then she says that they are doing... Or then Harry says that they're doing 60 by the time that they get on the road. Do you know what 60 miles is in kilometers?
It's pretty darn fast.
Almost double.
Almost 100.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Yep.
Going 100.
Yeah.
And then he goes faster to try and outpace the car.
0 to 60 in...
No time flat.
Yeah, it's scary, like, because of gravel, like the people behind them just must be sprayed like mad anyway.
No kidding.
Yeah.
Or even them, like, getting hit by whatever gravel, like,
you're gonna
the front tire's gonna...
I was gonna say, you're gonna get a little bounce up on you, yeah, more of it's gonna be in the back, but, you know, there's a time crunch here. They gotta be places, so, you know, what's a little gravel in your face?
Well, clearly, right?
Right.
If only they still had the helmets. It wouldn't really be anything at all, but...
Right. Ow.
Again, it wasn't for that long. You got a few sparks, a bit of gravel, boom, then they're on some kind of...
Even the bugs.
...fish stroke. Oh, God, those sting.
Get hit by, like,
yeah,
a fly at 100 clicks.
Ooh.
Yeah.
She stings.
They do.
They go whipping around. Car's coming at them, so, yeah, obviously they've been expected. And he pulls the super movie... thing and like sits on the window of the car like leaning out so he can like fire at them.
Right? Like, who's terrible? Like, who thought, like, this is a good idea? Like, this whole book, people are sitting on the edge of their car windows. It's just not a good idea in any case. We saw this example with, like, Harry trying it at the beginning
at the beginning
book.
Of the book.
That is still not a good idea.
I'm looking for more safety laws in my fantasy novels.
It's just because it looks so cool. And I mean, in all fairness, in Dresden's case and in Bodyguard Ken's case, you don't want to shoot out your own front windshield and have shit coming at you. So yeah, you get out the window and then take your shots. But yes, it's all action.
You probably
movie.
Actually have even more control if you're leaning out the window than actually your whole body out the window.
I don't know.
Because you're supported by the door.
Yeah, and I honestly have never tried this, so I cannot say.
So are there any of our listeners who have tried this? Please let us know.
We are not doing a practical experiment today because we just got like a foot of powdery snow over the 24 hours. But maybe in the summer when we get that week of dry roads, we can all go for a spin. We can all take turns jumping up on the window and balancing.
I vote your car.
Yeah, only if I have a gun and I'm shooting at you, I'll be doing it.
I've got a BB gun, I think, somewhere.
Right. Perfect. There you go. I was like, I have a walking stick. It's not as large as Harry's because I'm not as large as Harry. But, you know, we can try it with the quote-unquote staff. And we can try
and you need a new windshield anyway, so it's fine.
No. This is why we're going out the window. So we're not blowing out my windshield.
My aim with a gun isn't great.
You can sit. But if you're sitting on the windshield with the gun balanced, like steadied on the roof of the car, and you literally shoot down into my windshield. Okay, I will have a big problem.
And what am I doing? Steering with my knees?
Somebody else is driving. Thomas was driving for Harry. Murphy is driving for Harry here. Bodyguard Barbie is driving for Ken, okay? The driver is not the one that sits on the window ledge.
Do we know what kind of gun it was? Like, it doesn't really say, does it? Just lifted a gun to his shoulder. So that kind of makes me think.
Okay, he's going to get some
shotgun,
kind of,
maybe?
Yeah, some
like
kind of shotgun, rifle, AK-47. I don't know. Yeah.
Have you ever shot a...
No, unfortunately.
That shit's got some kickback.
That's what I hear. Like, I would like to. I think it would be fun.
Shoot once and just go flying out the back. Whee!
This is why he's braced. But this is the other reason why. So this is the thing. In some ways, I'm like, yeah, it's somewhat more braced. Because especially if you go back and you sort of got the... If your back is propped somewhat against the other edge of the car, and then, yeah, you've got, like, if you are sort of...
Maybe.
steadying on the roof of the car, I don't know, I mean...
This is definitely some Hollywood shenanigans.
Oh, yeah, for sure, in every... And who knows, maybe it is some super light little, and that's why, you know, with it braced on his shoulder, it's more than enough. Because if you think about it, the majority of people being right-handed, if you're in the passenger seat... I mean, although I guess if you're kind of leaning, yeah, in... to the side of the car, you would have sort of both, I guess, braced enough. You're not fully... Because, yeah, if you were just straight on, your right arm would be, like, way out with nothing.
I mean, maybe this is an elephant gun and he can't just actually... I don't know. It's curious. Either way, if you're just reading it for sake of reading it, unlike the way that we're doing it, which is like, we're going to take notes on this and pick everything apart.
Oh, yeah.
This is a fantastically written...
It just
written.
Looks cool. Oh, yeah. It sits on the thing and starts shooting. Oh,
like,
yeah.
This whole thing, this chapter, I fucking love. It is great.
Right? You brought up elephant guns. Hey, Tansen, you know how to kill a purple elephant?
With a purple gun?
With a purple elephant gun.
Yeah. Do you know how to kill a pink elephant?
Hold his nose until it turns purple.
Shoot him with a purple elephant gun. You're supposed to let him try to do the punchline first, because then it's funnier. He's got to get the pink elephant gun out first.
Oh.
I think I've heard that one.
I probably told it to you.
Yeah.
Because this one I... Anyways, yeah. So, yes. Action-wise, very fun. You've got a motorcycle heading down the road. You've got a car coming at them. You now have people leaning out the windows with guns of some sort to shoot at them. And Dresden's like, let's go faster. And Murphy goes, what the fuck is wrong with you, you fucking man?
It's really, really good, okay? It plays up the physics perfectly. Essentially, because, you know, mass force acceleration, they're only ever going to be so much mass. The best he can do is create some new force for the other car's mass to hit.
Right?
So... speeding up faster, 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 so that you can get as much force behind this spell as you can possibly get. And then you just create an invisible barrier of force right in front of the car, and they crumple.
Fuck.
Like shit. This is why I'm not going to war with a wizard.
I love that Butcher does that he does include real-life physics, because it makes it much more interesting.
Exactly.
It's just not like the suspension of disbelief. He actually ties in reality to make that story where you actually really have to think about it and go, yeah, actually, I think that would work.
I do, yeah, and that is what I enjoy. Like, he always says, just, you know, magic doesn't defy physics and things like that. There's certain undeniable things in the world that still have to happen, right? And I like that exactly. He has usually a generic basis. Again, no big scientist. I'm not going to go into the nitty-gritty of all of it, but you're like, this is right. We all took high school science.
We need to have a school teacher consult. Who other do we know?
It makes it feel less cheap, more earned. That's good.
Yeah, exactly, right? Sure. Thoughtful, yeah. Yeah, exactly, right. You're like, okay, yeah, you can whistle something up with the magic, but you're right, yeah. Then you're like, okay, exactly. We have action movies, we've all seen what happens when you get one tire up a ramp. Phew, and that car just flips and spins and crumples. And
so this thing crunches, essentially, like it had just hit something, which it did. There was something to be hit. We just can't see it. Meanwhile, Harry and Murph just keep driving through the destruction.
I like Murph at first she's like, okay, she starts going, great. And then he takes out the staff and starts loving, and she's like, you have got to be fucking kidding. Like, she knows what she's like. And she doesn't flinch.
Fuck, her response screams through it, like,
ah! I would too.
In terror and challenge in response.
Yeah, oh, I'm gonna get, and then after, yeah.
But fuck, do you trust Harry Dresden? Oh, fucking apparently.
I would love to see like a graphic novel sort of iteration of this
moment.
Chapter, like that moment right there, like just seeing like that sort of jousting looking comet like motorcycle with, you know, with Murphy
partially,
having that, you know, roar.
I would want to take it a step further. I'd want to see at least like an animated version, or even better, if they could do it well, the live action would be a lot of fun with this.
Mm-hmm.
Well, but yeah,
that's probably out of a budget for all the live action stuff that we've seen for the Dresden Files stuff.
Well, for the Dresden Files stuff, but I was about to say, I was like, it's not, but yeah,
the HBO version of the Dresden Files.
Right. If someone was actually going to do a big budget movie of it or something, it would be a great scene. But yeah, I think it would be just that much more fun, even in like animated action, just to have. And the energy of it, as opposed to even just, but yeah.
I do like that the bodyguard that was on the window did at least have the foresight to be like, oh,
at
shit,
the last
get in and put a seatbelt on.
At the last minute, it's like,
oh, crap.
Yeah, like, do not fucking get in a game of chicken with Dresden. Holy fuck. And yeah, kudos to Murphy for staying the course. And
that's a good trust relationship.
That really is. Well. Amazing, because yeah, like I say, not having been in that specific, I mean, I know they've been up against some shit, but I'm like, to me, again, it's different if you're like, you know, standing back to back shooting in the dark at a Walmart or something like that, then fucking racing your motorcycle head on into another car.
Yeah,
it's so ridiculous and brilliant.
Not giving that at any point to be like, because again, well, I guess she can. That's part of how she knows, because once he starts applying the force, she starts seeing the physical effects. So I guess maybe then you'd have like, you could. Because I was gonna say, I'm like, you can't see what the fuck is going on. How do you know? But I'm like, I guess there was a little bit of visual.
Anyways, on that gravel, they're hooped.
Totally. You've got no choice.
Well,
but as possible, because you're fucked.
At this point, too. But it doesn't necessarily mean that, like, we've all done it. You're, I don't know, trying to skateboard, rollerblade, some, and you know, or even skating or something, right? You know, don't have, and you still manage to twist or turn or fall, and you're like, why the fuck did I do that? If I just gone straight, I could have scooted into the snowbank and be right. But I mean, like, even though instinctually we know not to, we still all have that moment where we jerk or swerve or...
I'm going to throw in real quick, since we brought up the live action, that it was just Paul Blackthorne's birthday this week on Tuesday.
Oh, hey! Belated happy birthday, Paul Blackthorne. How old is he now? Jeez.
I don't know his age, but I know that his birthday was March 5th. So, happy birthday, bro.
Well, there you go.
So they do make it through. Screaming. Totally fair. And then it's just like the calm. Leave the death and destruction behind you and just go through. And it's like, all right, cool. High five.
Yeah. Yeah.
They're not moving.
Yeah.
Maybe dead, maybe alive. Who knows?
Right. Dresden manages to do the check over his shoulder and, yes, flipped car and body suspended in it, but don't know much more about that. And, yeah, Murphy certainly doesn't have the time.
She's done. There's a chance. He would have said they were mangled. And in that instance, there's a good chance that they should have been.
Even if they were buckled in and didn't get, you think, like, you see, even just the force striking thing, right? Like, they wouldn't necessarily have to be mangled, but there's still lots of possibility that a head smacked off.
Well, as you said, the airbags deployed, so just that itself is going to whack you in the face.
Right. Well, yeah, right. How many times is
internal bleeding, concussions, brain damage.
Right? And, like, you got to wonder in full, like, how much actual force that was when they hit, because I am not a physics teacher, right?
Splits the car or something?
It crumples, yeah. It like completely crumples the front end, and then he gets a bit of angle in it. Once the tire hit, it flips. So, yeah, it almost feels like when he first says it, because I'm almost feeling more like a, how would that be? More of like a, almost a horizontal cave. Because it just almost feels when he's turning to the front that he's going to like just split the car in half and they're going to go right through it. You know, I'm like, feel like an episode of like Mythbusters or something like that, where they just like, what is that? Bifurcation, where you just like, but yeah.
Yeah, it tore like 10 or 12 feet into the heavy hedges. So
yeah,
It was a great big ball of fire.
Should have been.
Whatever that stupid song is.
The after, beyond the destroyed car, though, this follow-up, Murphy kept the Harley racing forward and was casting laughter into the wind all the way down the road. What? I called to her. What? Why are you laughing? She half turned her head. Her face was flushed, her eyes sparkling. I think you were right about the vibrator thing. Naughty. Jim. That's very funny.
Jim. Not necessarily wrong, but...
throw some adrenaline in there.
Yeah.
Woo!
Woo!
Guess it's gravel road after all, so... that would have been a great place to end the chapter, but it does continue.
Yeah, that's just the beginning of the chapter, folks.
So how are they going to find this cave? It's not exactly like they've got the time to go looking up every single rock in the forest, right? But Harry is a little bit of a cheater. His mother was a little bit of a cheater. And it turns out the Harry's Pentacle has a sibling of its own.
Only when he finally remembers about it.
Sure, they go through their options, but...
I don't know. I'm sure they'll have to use a bunch of stuff. Oh, so we'll just walk around the woods sniffing for the cave. Well, you know. And then, yeah. Way late. Harry,
this
wait
wand's
a second.
Core...
I'm a wizard.
This wand's core has a brother.
This wand's core.
Yep.
Yes.
The phoenix that gave you that feather gave just one other.
Dun, 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 dun. Wait, I thought they were made of silver. Not the one. The Folks, you can't see this, but she's giving me a look.
So yeah, his pentacle can find Thomas's pentacle. Apparently.
It's convenient.
Well, Mom installed a link between them, so hey, I could just find that link
Follow the link. Hansel and Gretel it.
This is so much easier. And boy, is it. All he has to do is say, okay, let's go, Murph. And turn around, and there's no Murph.
And well, he says, Murphy's, well, assuming he has it. Oh, Thomas would never take it off.
Oh, well, yes, we cover that.
Okay, but we know when we get there, Thomas has been stripped and dropped. So it's like, okay, you're lucky his stuff was still right there next to him as well and not.
Well, no, I think this is, yes. Obviously, Thomas was still wearing it, which is why it was found by, but yeah, I suppose not that Papa Wraith got rid of it or whatever. That would have been the other thing is that, yeah, if he got rid of it somewhere else, but I think Harry's point still stands that Thomas, as it turns out, did in fact have it on him up until, it's just, I guess, if they would have found reason to, like, strip him before they got him there, but yes. Yeah, it turns out,
it's worth a try.
Something out of a bag. Well, yeah, for sure, right? It's, yeah.
All you got.
Well, and again, right, if you're not necessarily expecting to, like, he just is like, well, they got to keep him alive. Yeah, they're not necessarily expecting to pat him down for jewelry, and, like, that would be significant in any way, right? But yeah, the typical of like, let's go. And like nothing, he turns around and Murphy's just gone. Like again, right out of another like movie scene where it's like.
Turns out you didn't need the amulet.
Turns out didn't need it. I mean, did, but not.
You've got to ride to the caves. We'll show you where they are. Because yeah, Lord Wraith has grabbed Murphy.
Yeah, and he turns around again and then all of a sudden, boom, there you are behind him. Which again, it was like fucking fast motherfucker to be able to like grab Murph silently.
Just spinning circles around
Spinning
Harry.
Circles around him. Yeah, basically. Like, oh, I'm behind you. Oh, I'm behind you. So yeah, nice little showdown and a nice little explanation for those of you that had caught up to this
point. You haven't been paying attention.
I was theorizing. Harry lays it out for us now.
Right. Is this villain speech number 1, 2, 3, or 4 yet?
I don't know. Does it count as villain speech?
Oh, Harry? There's just a lot of villains.
Harry does most of the talking in this one.
Yeah, but as per usual.
But Wraith lets on like crucial details that he doesn't have to. He just
pokes the bear and he gets a growl and he's like, aha, vindication. My theory was right. And
again,
like,
the White Court is all about the journey, okay? Not the destination,
right?
Okay? There's no point to killing Murph or Harry if he doesn't get to monologue a little.
Right, exactly. It's all about the wit and cunning in the court. So if you can't, you know, prove to everybody that you've been witty and cunning, then...
Oh, yeah? Oh, I knew you were going to use that.
You just caught a guy and killed him. Anyone can do that. What are you, a rat? Yeah, exactly. So, yeah, we find out the details. So, Margaret LeFay did not blow her death curse. She may not be able to take him out the way everybody expected or wanted, but Ebenezer, you are wrong.
Wrong.
She threw it, it stuck, and it did its thing. And bit by bit, for the last 20-odd years...
Well, yeah, she managed to essentially stop him from ever feeding again.
Damn.
That's a fucking good way to use a death curse on a vampire king.
Especially one so powerful.
Oh. Exactly, yeah.
Well, that's... Yeah, right. That was probably, obviously, about the best she could have done. And kudos to her for... thinking, right, knowing, like, okay, a direct strike's not going to do anything. Like, people have tried to kill him. I can't kill him, but I can injure him, cripple him, stymie him, whatever, right? I can...
Well, and he says later that
block.
He says later, too, that it, you know, taught him a measure of humility and patience, and it's like, yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah, fair enough, I guess. What are you going to do without your mojo, your vampire mojo?
But also begs the question of how big was that fucking well of power before she corked it, right? Like, this is the other thing that's... Right? Obviously, this is the whole thing. We know the man's got power. He's got this kiss of death. He's got this invincibility. He's got this... So, okay, we're establishing in this conversation as well that magic still, okay, he does have something that lets the magic just roll off him, kind of a thing that indirect is not so... But, you know, but if he literally hasn't fed in like 30 years and obviously still has... Some kind of
you know, he reserves,
well, yeah, it didn't just like fizzle out in 5 years and become a dried up old man kind of a thing, right? So how did he amass that much power? How did he get those reserves in the first place? You know,
he's fucking lucky he had that reserve always just topped off, right?
Well, yeah, but this is the thing, right?
Well, like, and it sort of speaks as well to how well he is at manipulation. Because he wouldn't be able to hold this without manipulating people into thinking that he still had this power.
Well, that's true. It's been a big bluff. Yeah, that part. But he obviously did have it to begin with because he was using this power up until then, right? So is it the fact, like, is this supposed to speak to how old Lord Wraith is? Like, how far back in the gallery do those pictures go? A couple hundred years? How far did he...
It was like the 14th century is the first one.
14th century or something like that, right? So is it just that he's managed to live longer than anybody else and this is why he's got... Is he like hairy? Is it some kind of innate born with thing that Wraith just had a more powerful demon to start with that he was able to work with? Is this more of the magic, whatever keeps him immune to magic? Did he manage to, you know, exponentially grow his... You know what I mean? Like, what gave him this magical muscle mass kind of a thing,
feeding,
right?
Like, stronger.
Because, yeah, because obviously not everybody is... I mean, Wraith has been in charge for a while, but the stories and whatever about him is obviously...
Yeah, he's got no qualms about killing.
Well, no, but I just mean other Wraith or other White Court kings, if you will, have not reached this level of infamy or whatever, right? So obviously he's a lot more bright. Other just plain old White Court vampires obviously have to, like, he's important because he's built this reputation in this thing, right? So yeah, just how he managed to get it so vast in the first place. Was it something he had to work out? Was it something he had to build? Was it something magical? Was it something...
Be a cool another side story, just how did Lord Wraith become the king?
As powerful as he is, yeah, mm-hmm. As opposed to others, so that he could literally go then 30 years without, right? I mean,
well, and again, once you are in the seat of power, it's easy then to keep it, right?
Easier.
The hard work is getting to that spot. Maintaining it, I don't think, is necessarily the same level because a lot of it is just by reputation alone. He clearly didn't have to do much.
And I was going
to actual work.
I think it helped him that it
sure,
was
500 years of being scary means you can take a 30-year break, right?
Exactly, yeah, pretty much, right? Yeah, if this had happened within like the first 5 years of him taking power,
no.
Maybe not so good, right? But yeah, he obviously had ruled long enough and established enough fear and terror and doubt and whatever, right? Ebenezer's convinced, no, there's no fucking point in taking a shot at him. We've tried, we've failed. Right? So obviously lots of the other vampires, whether within the White Court or without, you know, right, they're like, we got to scheme a whole lot more. And so yeah, he definitely has had that working for him, that not, you know, it's too new in supernatural timelines to really go after him again, but sooner or later, yeah.
I think it really helps him too, that this is only, you know, in the, you know, late 20th and 21st century of a problem, because look at just regular royal families now. They got nothing to do in the late 20th and 21st century. No one's expecting them to be badass and cool. We're all like, yeah, go do a little walk around the park and like
wave.
Avoid dinners, go to the one dinner year that you've got to, and, like, point people and tell them what to do, okay? Like, no one's actually expecting you to have a real job at this point, right? So he's lucky in that way, okay? Everyone's just like, yeah, okay, 21st century king, sure. You're just going
to
live in your
office house. Politics, not writing to war politics. Yeah. Right. Yeah.
He's really lucking out on the timeline there, okay?
That too, yeah. And again, that you've got so much other, you know, it's like, I don't have to kiss of death anybody. I can just pull out my AK-47.
Or my 17 daughters.
Or my 17 daughters, who all know how to use an AK-47.
Yeah.
You know, but even that, actually, because we were talking about some of that last time too, right? It explains a little bit more of why he hasn't gone harder after Thomas. Not just that he can't be bothered or whatever, but he doesn't have the same.
Mm-hmm.
And again, it's not on the White Court's way of things to just whip out an AK-47 and blast Thomas' head off. Sure, he could have done that, but that is just so gauche.
Yeah.
Right? So yeah, that explains a little bit more why Thomas is mad, because he hasn't had the other party tricks that he may or may not have used, right?
He's lucky Thomas didn't start getting defiant until now, too. Because it might have been more obvious to the other courts had Thomas been trying this whole time.
It might have highlighted it sooner, or yeah, or Rafe might have had to resort to, you know, whipping out a gun, and then they all would have been like, yo, dude, that just would have made him look, whether they knew he had power or not, it just would have, you know, been such a tacky move on his part. So, yeah, so right about when, because I think the 3 is pretty good. He's probably getting to the point now where exactly it might be time for somebody to try and take another whack at it or whatever. And so this is about perfect as perfect as the situation could be for Wraith. I mean, obviously, not having had any of this would have been the perfect, but now figuring it out at this time in this way, he's like, all right, I can fucking end this thing and save face and start getting back before anybody really figures out that I've been.
Well, this just shows another reason as to why, first of all, sending Thomas to go to all these other parties and shindigs and stuff on his behalf is a good way to hopefully get Thomas killed while still being in the, you know, parameters of deception rather than outright
accidental
slaughter.
Ooh, whoops. Yeah.
But secondly, he can't afford to show up in front of Mava or Bianca or whoever being weak as fuck, because they're going to pin it on him immediately. And
potentially,
be like, okay,
yeah,
kill him. And he'll be like, ooh, you know, I feel like it right now.
Yeah.
I had a big breakfast.
You know what? Just because you told me to, I'm not going to do it.
No. I was going to, but since now you want me to,
I'm
the king.
You can't tell me what to do. So.
No. So yeah, like, he couldn't afford to go and meet up. And Harry says also here, like, you've probably had a lot of offers over the years. A lot of people have probably. The Red Court has actively been like, White Court,
we're
come to
war
with us. And you have been this whole time being like, go fuck yourself, okay? We don't want to.
Why
wouldn't you want to join?
It's not us, right? You guys made this mess. You guys deal with it. It doesn't directly influence us yet.
Right? But it doesn't make sense. Of course the 3 courts of the vampire should be gunning to kill all the wizards. That sounds like an awesome deal. Especially when it looks like the Red Court has such an advantage right now. And for the White Court to still be like, maybe next week, whatever. We'll see what we feel like then. But all of this makes sense now. Lord Wraith himself cannot bear to be in front of other powerful allies who actually might be
pick
able to
up
take
and
a
notice
shot at him.
And yeah, might realize.
Great magic slides off him. There's a lot more than magic in the world.
Well, exactly. They could just pick up an AK-47.
Yeah.
The blood is in the water.
And then Lord Wraith is like, maybe you should watch your fucking tongue. And Harry's like, why? If you're going to kill me, kill me. Or if you can't kill me, I'll say whatever the fuck I want. Why haven't you killed Murphy yet? What's going on, bro? How come you haven't killed Trisha yet? She was so insulting and rude to you on the phone. You didn't do shit about it.
Yeah, and that's what really starts to piss him off. That's when he really starts starting to get reactions. Yeah, because he's like, it's like, I'm thinking that there's something wrong, because otherwise you wouldn't let someone like Trixie, you know, yell at you like she did on the phone. And he's like,
Harry is just the master of antagonizing.
Right?
Just so good at pissing people off.
I don't know if it's in this chapter or if it's later in the book, but yeah, he's like, I can piss off everyone. It's really a gift. I gotta use it.
Oh,
I gotta use it for the greater good.
I think that might be later, but
yeah. I think it's later, but yeah.
still appropriate.
It isn't, though, because he could have really put his foot in it here. Because as he starts taunting him and saying, like, gee, you can't control women anymore. Geez, you can't do, like, oh, what have you done to Murphy? And he does start poking her with the knife. And like, he draws blood. He could have just been, like, pissed off. He
could have
slit
her.
Could have shanked her, slit her throat.
Harry's still looking for the truth, though. Like, he's not certain, so he's looking for hints.
But he is lucky, because like I say, he is, you know, he's all like, oh, Murphy and Ray sitting in a, you know, I was like, you could have literally just, I get that you're trying to provoke a reaction, but you literally could have, like, just fucking cost Murphy her life right then and there. You could have taken it that one step too far. Like, you're lucky that Wraith is looking for a snack when this is all done. He figures, I'm going to break the curse. I'm going to get to eat her. It'll be fine. I'll hang on to her. But I was like, man, if it wasn't for that, like, Murphy's probably like, you fucking fucker.
So here's the final tidbit of information we need as to why they are on such even footing, okay? Because if Lord Wraith manages to kill Harry and Thomas, guess what? No more curse being supplied by the living blood relatives.
That's what he figures is, yeah, it wasn't just like, she slapped this, I mean, it's going to go. This is the, again, like as Harry said before, this is the battery powering it. There's this link. So Wraith figures.
So Harry's threatening him. What's even the point, bro? This is going to last the rest of your life. And Lord Wraith like, no, this is going to last the rest of your life.
Yeah.
Which is, wow. It's those bloodline curses. They're a doozy.
Right.
Yeah.
I gotta watch out for them.
Wraith gets rid of his annoying son, gets rid of his son adjacent, and yeah, and then just wipe out this curse from, as Harry puts, it's like, one of your broodmares gelded you. Like, that's just,
gross.
Like, even, right? It's just even worse. Not even just like, oh, and, you know, but he's just like, yeah, this is.
Well, you're the one who said mount like 10 episodes ago.
Yeah, well, that's was relevant to the chapter at the time. Yeah. No, but I just mean it's just, again, that sticking it to Wraith a little bit more, right? Because, yeah, as far as Wraith's concerned, that's basically all there are. It's not like he's got a closet full of loving wives that he is, right? That's pretty much all they are to him is, like, a broodmare.
Yeah.
And, yeah, exactly, to have one of them be the cause of his castration?
Well, yeah, because his mojo's all messed up. Which is why it would have been really nice if you could have had anything to help that. For example, magic mind.
Oh, yeah, that would have been great.
I feel like magic mind.
Can you imagine Wraith on magic mind?
I feel like that could have fixed the bloodline family curse.
Right?
Did they try?
Curse breaker. That stuff is powerful enough.
It not if it certainly could have kept it going a while longer, I'm sure, if not flat out broken.
Right? They don't need food, but maybe they should have tried. Just a couple of mushrooms in the diet.
Maybe... This is where Wraith got this vast well of power. All those years, he was topping it up with, he'd have his little sexual feeding life force power taking in the morning, and he would take it with his magic mind, and it just increased all of those effects like it does when you take it with caffeine.
Mm.
So it wasn't just feeding, it was feeding plus.
So here's what I think it is. The magic sliding off of him is because he's taking the magic mind.
Oh, it's just a counter.
It could just be the neurotropics in it.
Oh, sure. The actual healthy things in the ingredient list. And to be fair, for how, like, afraid and anxious the situation would have made him, the magic mind would have just helped there, too.
He really should have kept on consuming magic mind because he would have just been able to see what was coming before it happened. Because he would have been alert.
Possibly.
Yes.
Stick to your guns,
or
dude.
This is what's made him not fade out faster than he has. This is what's helped him hang on, is that he continued with the magic mind. He's had at least this extra boost.
Good
so
point,
for
good point.
30 years, he is like, okay, I'm not as down and out because I still have.
And one of the best parts is matcha because it's extended release rather than just right away. And clearly this man needs to turn into longevity, okay?
Everything has to be slow release right now. Yeah.
No Fast and Furious anymore for this guy.
I find they're really quite refreshing taste. Like, you can tell as soon as you have it that it is going to be something that helps you, and you already start feeling it almost right away.
Right? It's got that, this definitely has good ingredients thing in it going immediately.
It does have lion's mane mushrooms in it, which are, like, fantastic for you. If you haven't looked up what that stuff does, it's just great. Like, Google it. It's wonderful.
If you want to try it, we've got some discount codes. You can go to magicmind.com/McAnally, McAnally, and you can use the code McAnally20.
Get you some great discounts using that code.
20% off.
20% off a one-time purchase, 50% off a subscription. If you use them in the next 10 days, they stack.
So give it a try.
Well, this is the funny thing about it, too, is that for Lord Wraith at the time, being the one to, like, entrap Margaret Le Fay must have been such power move,
oh,
right?
A little, like, feather in the cap, right?
And a lot of people don't even know that's where she was. She disappeared for a while, and only some of those years with Lord Wraith. But the people who did know, it must have been like, holy shit, he got Margaret Le Fay as, like, part of his entourage? Like, holy shit.
Well, no shit. And this is what Harry has said a few times, like, especially dealing with the vamps and things like that. You know, like, if Biange had gotten him in book three, he's like, they would have had a Wizard of the White Council in the ranks of their, you know, so exactly, you're like, you've got somebody that's powerful enough that she's on the council, somebody that knows shit, like, who knows how much, but basically being any part of the council is, you know, a certain amount of council shit. So, right, you've got information, you've got access, you've got power, you've got, right, all of these things that Harry is so worried about if people get their hands on him, and things that he could potentially give up and do, or why he might be a target. And Margaret was,
he had
quote-unquote willing, right? Exactly, right? You know, like, yeah, what did she, could she, you know, maybe she wasn't at the point yet where she was willing to hand over her whole organization, but we don't know. We don't know why she was with him. We don't know what, you know, was it just all his influence? Was she there by choice? Was it?
Did she get anything out of it besides the son?
Right, you know, was she double agenting it there? Was she there to get, like, right, exactly. But yeah, it's like, that was a big old AK-47 in their arsenal, right? That would have been a...
So it is very fitting that, oh, that actually turned into your downfall too.
Yeah. Okay?
This big, high and mighty, ha ha ha, I've got one of yours, and ha ha ha, we've got one of you.
Yeah, exactly, right? It can turn on you, and you've got a weapon that powerful.
Yeah, maybe it was a total pretender moment.
Maybe.
They're in the ranks.
I don't know. It was the double, double, double cross. Yeah.
Thank you so much to our Patreon subscribers for your generous support. It's people like you who help us keep doing what we're doing. If you're not yet a Patreon subscriber, sign up today and get a fuck ton of bonus content, kick-ass merch, behind-the-scenes outtakes, and more. Sign up today at patreon.com/freeflowrambling.
Chapter 39. Once inside the cave, Murphy attempts to strike at Wraith, but even in a weakened state, Lord Wraith exercises complete control over Murphy and subdues her.
So they no longer have to find their way to the caves. They get escorted. So Harry gets manacled. The last bodyguard, Barbie, pops out of the bushes.
Bet you that's a multi-purpose wall with the manacles on it.
I bet you it is.
In this cave?
However will they use it?
So many options.
But the thought that keeps going through my mind here is they put manacles on the son of a performance magician who may or may not have taught his son how to get out of.
No kidding. That should totally be in his wheelhouse.
Right.
I do want to imagine a conversation every couple of weeks or so where it's just, hey, do you pressure wash caves? Yeah, in the middle of our forest.
Okay, again, I think Wraith has proven that he has, like, in-house staff for this, okay? He's got this covered.
You're Windexing cave walls? No way.
No, why would you want to Windex them? But think about it. The majority of their stuff does not have to be bloody and violent, right? They feed off of life force and everything like that, so most of their sexy shit...
I'm not talking about blood as the body
okay,
fluids
you're
on the walls.
About the other.
Well, I didn't catch that right away, and I should have.
But again, there's also a lot of pillows and things, so they may just, you know, confine it to that and have to, they
throw them in the hole, go buy new sheets.
Well, for a start, yeah, there's that. They don't even have to wash them, but yeah, so you say if he plays it right, it isn't necessarily, you know, he can keep most of it off the walls, but yeah, you know these that he's got, like.
I don't want to touch anything in this cave.
No, I imagine you wouldn't. But yes, Harry himself is not doing a whole lot because he's had to drop all his gear and he's now got his legs and hands, so he's just shuffling along.
And he's too tall for the cave, too.
His beginnings
are all crouched over.
Yeah, but Wraith...
What a loser.
Ugh, I tell you. But Wraith does the typical, I've got a female... That reminds me of Murphy's line there, too, where he's like, so how are you doing? She's like, I'm feeling repressed. I'm living out this whole hostage thing and it's pissing me off. But yeah, does the typical female hostage thing of gets in there and grabs the girl and flings her against a wall. But Murphy's not just typically any girl, and she immediately tries to get her feet under her and take a shot. Unfortunately, it doesn't work, because as you said, Wraith still has some fuel in the tank and is still super swift. This is the asshole movie. He just, like, catches it without even looking. You fucker.
Right?
Right? Like, insult to injury.
It looks pretty bleak, like, how he can just bounce back from all this shit, and that's him in a weakened state is like, ooh.
Yeah. Right.
But I mean, a vampire is a vampire is a vampire, right?
There's a lot of, like, what seems like no-win situations for Dresden that he manages to get through.
Well, and he's just good about being mean. He's just that whole, like, oh yeah, I break women as soon as they come into my presence seems to be just so natural to how he adapts to it. It's just like,
yeah. To Wraith, yeah.
Yeah, I don't want to be around this guy.
No.
He's super creepy.
This does get very...
Well, it's very much just like, I know how you talk to your daughters when we're not around. Great. Awesome.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And every... yeah. Just the whole the power thing, the misogynistic thing, the whole, like, you just get with the times, Wraith, okay? This is so not politically correct.
Mm-mm.
Have a little respect for women.
Well, pitting your hunger against your daughters who have a hunger of their own to be pitted against versus pitting it against Murphy who doesn't.
Yeah.
And it's just an instant, like, no, I got you.
Bing.
You're done already.
Yeah.
Which brings me to, like, Harry, when he's setting up the spider web spell, catchermatronic, turn it back around, karma spell back at the
studio.
That was the official name, by the way.
Yes, yes. You can find it in the glossary at the back of the book.
Exactly. Harry, it says, it's a good thing I have Jake helping me because he's not a woman. The spell was never going to be designed to hit him.
Yeah, well,
even though it is meant to hit Harry, but still.
But not at that time. That time it was being still aimed at women, so but yes.
I also was like, well, yeah, you've got a lot of male friends. Why not one of the alphas or Michael or Sonya or just Ebenezer? Just why did you choose a woman to go up against the sex vampire? It seems a little bit like, what's the, like, number one target for Lord Wraith? A woman? Great, you're with me, Murph. Let's go.
Yeah.
And I understand this whole book has been
a nice mortal woman without any other
without
extra
anything else, right?
Or, yeah.
And this whole book has been very much, we're here on the Murphy problem. We've met all of Murphy's family. We're talking to Murphy so much. We're involving her in the supernatural more and more. We've fully brought her on as a side character we want in every book, okay? I get that. But at the same time,
but
it's like, of all of Carrie's side characters, the
Carrie's
women of all of Harry's side characters,
yeah,
you're gonna bring in, like, the number one victim, like he says every day, I want to hurt mortal women.
Right. Yeah.
Please bring them to me.
Right. Right. Well, it does make, because, I mean, on the one hand, we have those other characters, like the alphas, but we've only seen them a little bit so far, right? They have not featured prominently yet, so we don't know, right? They're kind of, is it for that reason that he hasn't sort of, you know, brought them in more? Because we haven't seen a lot of his other.
Well, and I think using her in this specific circumstance is highly elevating to her character.
I'm happy Murph is here. I'm glad for it. She does a great job, as we know through the end of this book. Murphy's here to stay for a long, long time, okay? However, I still feel like of, you know, picking, you know, which of the characters you want to go to battle with, and you're scrolling through all your options, and you're like, yeah, a girl is the best one to go fight the sex vampire.
Well, and that's the thing, right?
Like, just from, at the base.
From Harry's point of view, is Harry just not thinking about, oh, wait, I've got these other friends or allies now, you know, he's just used to, or exactly, is it even part of that, that it's like consciously or subconsciously, it's like perfect bait? Right, Murphy is there because she can distract or have him or whatever, or again, he just has, again, that much confidence that he's like, even though she's the most vulnerable, I still think she can take this on better than.
And really, I
she's
do.
She's kind of sort of just incidentally there at the time for parts of it just because of planning for the attack on the Black Court, and he's getting information from her as a resource as a police officer.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So between those two, she just happens to be in his purview right now.
Which, 100% I agree with
but
that.
But I get what you're saying. And,
but
like,
yes, as to physically
is this a wise
say,
choice?
Yeah, for you come with me to this place, because he still got all that other information from her beforehand and everything like that, right? He still could use the police resource without, and then still taking somebody else with him too.
We also know that she would kick his ass if she would, he would have made that biased choice of being
and
like, you're a woman, you can't do this case with me.
Oh, again, I know Murphy is up to
yeah.
the task. I trust her. I know Harry trusts her,
yeah.
right? Of all of his friends.
Yes. But
Murphy probably
do,
is the number one trust.
But and, you do bring, yes, a very valid point and one that I have considered before too, right?
He's like, also, yeah, killed Michael in the last one. He got Michael shot at and stuff. So maybe he doesn't want to call him up again. But
right, we do see that he likes
know,
to use
switch
Michael.
Your characters in and out. We use Michael last book.
Well,
Murphy
and
turned
sparingly,
out.
Exactly, right? Like he only, like you say, because Michael's got his own set of directives, right? Mm-hmm. Harry is a little bit cautious about when and where he wants to pull him in out of the booth. So yeah,
still all of that.
You think Michael would have been a pretty strong choice for this one?
Mm-hmm.
He. Not female.
I mean, Thomas would have been a great choice if he hadn't gotten himself kidnapped this morning.
Well, right, like, Thomas. But
thanks a lot. Now I have to bring a girl into this.
But yeah, it's too bad because Michael would have been, right? Michael would not be easily supernaturally influenced at all because of his spiritual protection.
He's not to race taste.
He's exactly, right? He's not to race taste. He's not woman. He's not, you know, he's got the training. He's got the big magical. But yeah, it just wouldn't have worked because not appropriate. This isn't his deal right now. I can't bring him in on this one. Like, it's only like, you know, he's got like this 5 bonus chips or whatever. He's like, you can't. It's like, what do you call it? The video games where you've got like the special powers or the
power-ups?
The power-ups? Yeah, exactly, right? He's like, I've only got so many. I gotta pick and choose when to use them.
Well, it's, I mean, story-wise, having her go through this, because with the previous books, we see that there was a lot of damage that had happened to her that she was still working through.
The PTSD redemption arc, it's great. She gets this moment to overcome and be better.
Which, because this could easily have just completely broken her.
He's afraid of for a moment there. Yeah, exactly. Right. You've had this whole power taken away from her. Now it's a chance for her to get some of that power back. But it's still a risky,
He says in this chapter, he's like, I can't even help her. He's like, she has to fight him on his own. This isn't something that I can step in, because if she doesn't break it on her own, it'll always affect her. She needs to be the one to stand up in her own mind and say yes or no to this. And he also says, and I asked her to do it. I couldn't save her from it, and I asked her to face it. Like, he understands.
Yeah.
I brought you into a difficult situation, okay? I brought you into something potentially mind-breaking, if not life-breaking.
Yeah, exactly.
Right? And I still, I'm rooting for you, Murphy. I think you can do it. Which is, again, as we said, Murphy would kill him if he didn't give her the chance.
Mm-hmm.
And I like to see that he has and is, but it still seems like, what a risk.
It is, yeah, and that's the thing, right? It's like, beforehand, you're like, well, it's a risk worth taking. I'd know the risk, but then again, once you're actually in it, should I have taken this risk? I didn't think we were actually going to get to the point.
Was it last chapter or that before where we said it's a whole catch-22? It's like, I can't exactly tell you what's going on until you agree to it, but once you agree to it, you don't know exactly what you're agreeing to, because it's such a big thing, you know? But this is like, okay, so here's how you get therapy. First of all, you have to kill the fucking vampire king. Second of all, you don't want to have supernatural PTSD anymore? There's 15 mega baddies we got to kill first.
If you're going to go through Dresden's AA, out of this is...
We're just going to desensitize you is what we're going to
do. Yeah, exactly.
Just repetitively. You
know, when you've had so many diseases that they start canceling each other out, it's like you're going to have so many traumas they start canceling each other out.
And we already know that Harry is sort of like numb to all this stuff from all the times that he's repeatedly had to go through it himself. It all, yeah. So he's like, oh, I've got the greatest solution for you.
Right.
Just ignore it and keep going.
Yeah. Every book, he seems so mature because he's like, I compartmentalized to put it aside. I'm like, no, dude, deal with this.
Hold on until there's, yeah.
Oh my God, I've been meaning to say this for months and I keep forgetting it. It just occurred to me now.
You're welcome.
What I learned, and I'm putting it in here, has got nothing to do with the chapter. I just haven't found a way to fit it in because I keep forgetting. Calgary is on the same latitude as Dresden, Germany.
Interesting.
Ooh. We were meant to do this.
That's all I have to say. Cool.
I like it.
Yep. Me and my coworkers were talking about cool facts about Calgary a while ago.
Yeah. And did you specifically... How did you come across finding that?
I was on a website, Cool Facts About Calgary.
Cool Facts About Calgary. Okay, there
we
you go.
We have Chinooks that are not supposed to be mistaken for climate change.
Global warming. Yeah. The Antipodes puts us in the middle of the ocean, somewhere off the southeastern tip of Africa.
What?
Opposite of, like, the sideways latitude and longitude.
So, like, if you drilled a hole directly through from, like, one spot of the Earth to the other, right? So, like, the North Pole to the South Pole. So, yeah, the Antipodes of Calgary.
Got it.
Is off the southeast coast of, like, Africa. There's some other little Frenchy islandy things there.
I miss
there,
the rains down in Africa.
Yeah. Yeah, well, you wouldn't there because you'd be smack dab in the middle of the ocean. So you'd be play wet.
That's what Wraith said. This concludes our episode 12.27, Magical Jousting Motorcycle Comets. Thank you for listening. You can find us online at freeflowrambling.com and macanalys.ca. There we have links to our other podcasts, social media, and other fun tidbits. Please subscribe if you like what you're hearing, and please consider supporting us through Patreon to keep the magic alive and to see more content. We are Free Flow Rambling. Conjure by it at your own risk.